And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brett. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Not much, Shane. It's been grinding to a halt here with the SEC regular season conference championship over, but we didn't want to leave the guys hanging. We wanted to give you one final podcast for the week, get you through your Friday, hopefully a little bit smoother. But before we get into the SEC action, Shane, had to bring up this little one for you. I just got these odds sent to me. Mm-hmm. And these are odds to see these quarterbacks suit up in the XFL.
Okay.
Now, of course, Shane, for anyone that doesn't know, you're not familiar, XFL was a league started up by Vince McMahon, you know, the WWE guy, years ago, and they're bringing it back. I don't think it's coming back anytime soon. I think it's going to be in the spring, as far as I know, and I think it starts in 2020. So just putting that all out there. Not really sure why these are odds right now for 2020, but I just thought I had to bring them up. First off, Shane, one of your all-time favorites, Colin Kaepernick, even odds to play quarterback in the XFL. Johnny Manziel, everybody knows Johnny. He's at 2-1. Michael Vick, I thought he was retired, but he's at 5-1. Oh, Timmy Tebow, our boy Tebow, he's at 10-1. And last but not least, Brett Favre, 100-1. So based on these odds, Shane, which guy you feeling best about putting your money down? Colin Kaepernick at even, Johnny Manziel 2-1, Michael Vick 5-1, Tebow 10-1, or old Brett Favre, my favorite quarterback of all time, 100-1. Who are you putting your $100 on?
Oh, man, I tell you what, here's the deal. Vince wants to sell tickets. I mean, this is his deal. He wants to put a big name in there. Obviously, I would think Kaepernick would be the shot, but I will say that, you know, he came out during the whole NFL deal, and he was one of the ones that said, you know, that was totally against taking a knee during the flag. So I think he's out. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you're selling tickets, man, it's got to be Tim freaking Tebow. What do you think?
Ooh, I'm going to disagree with you, Shane. I think I'm going to go with old Johnny Manziel. I think he sells a little bit more tickets. I think he's a little bit more entertaining to watch. And obviously he's up there in Canada, so he's not giving up on his football dreams. Well, Tebow's up there swinging the bat for the Mets, I think. I like Johnny Manziel at 2-1. I think that's who I'd put my money on.
I don't know, man. I'm with you. I think that, but we've got to see it. And he struggled there in Cleveland, and it's not like here's Tim Tebow. He's still in the face of media. I mean, he's still on SEC game days. He's still. You see him on ESPN all the damn time. This guy is got a lot of fans, and I just think he would be somebody like a signature hire for Vince, I would think, you know, because like I said, Vince is trying to do the opposite of the NFL. So don't be surprised if he comes out a little more patriotic and, you know, and don't be surprised if he paints up G.I. Joe here as the greatest football player ever. And that's that. I just see that as just from watching wrestling, you know.
I gotcha. All right, Shane. Of course, this is not the XFL podcast, so we're going to move on to SEC action.
I thought you were going to say Stenham. Was he on the list?
No, not yet. He's AAF. He's probably going to be there. But how about this, Shane? A guy that you probably had pegged as the next XFL coach, Barry Odom, your boy Barry, he got a contract extension from Missouri.
Oh, show me the money.
You think that's a smart move by Missouri? Keep in mind, they just went 8-4. Good chance of going 9-4 with a bowl win over Oklahoma State. Good move by Missouri here, Shane, to give Barry Odom a contract extension?
Hell yeah, it was. I mean, there was rumblings about him maybe taking another job, even though you and I thought this wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe he should, given his current pay status. But he got some freaking money, man. I think he got, an extra $600,000 a year or something like that? I mean,
yep.
He's got some pretty good money coming in. And this is coming off the heels of signing the quarterback and, getting Nance the receiver. So I think they got a good thing going down there in Missouri.
Well, Shane, again, this is me reading in between the lines. Don't believe everything you hear. We said it on this podcast. Barry Odom connected to Louisville. Bullshit. We called bullshit on that one. A week later, a guy's got a contract extension. It's just wild how that happened, Shane, but it is what it is. Barry Odom got himself a new deal. I did see some Missouri people were like, what in the hell? He's a Missouri man and he's using us for leverage. Well, it's not even him. It's his agent. That's his agent's job. And Shane, what's the thing you always say about Barry Odom? Lowest paid coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
Now he's one up. He's 13th in the SEC. So it's still a good deal by Missouri. And it's, you're not disrespecting him. He's above Matt Luke. And really, we should say 12th in the SEC because Vanderbilt, for anyone that doesn't know, that's a private institution. So they do not release financial records. So we don't really know what Derek Mason is being paid. So technically, when we do these contract rankings, we're only doing it out of 13 because we got a minus Vanderbilt. But so Barry Odom is above Matt Luke, which, that pay figure, maybe not great still, but what he does got worked out in his contract, anytime Missouri wins 9 games, and that does include a bowl game, he gets an automatic 1-year extension. So it's very similar to the Mark Stoops contract. Of course, Mark Stoops is a lot easier at 7. So, but now that you know all that, Shane, still a really good deal, wouldn't you say, for Missouri?
I do. $600,000 sounds like a lot. I mean, it is a lot. I'd love to have $600,000 more a year. But I'm telling you what, the fact that everything he's done, I mean, it's still kind of a joke. Yeah, I think they should have been a little bit more competitive with his pay. I do think that Mason's the least paid, by the way, even though they're not releasing it. I would say Mason would be the least paid coach in the SEC. But, I don't know. It's just everything that they got going on down there. But I will tell you, this is a school a few years removed from having trouble getting people to even go to games. So even this year, I don't think they were selling out games. Coach was, coaching it up. So, I mean, that's part of it, too. You got to put butts in the seats. And if your team's not doing that, it's hard to justify paying your coach more.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane. So moving to other coach talk. Obviously, since we last recorded, Mel Tucker to Colorado is official. He has left Georgia. He's not going to coach in the Sugar Bowl. He's got to start recruiting immediately for Colorado. To my knowledge, Colorado did not make a bowl game, which is obvious because they fired their damn coach. But so Mel Tucker off to Colorado. I heard, I don't know if this is 100% true, but I heard a rumor that, the reason this was taking so long, I think he was trying to negotiate just certain things in his contract, like allowing him to have full autonomy of his assistants and who he can. I think he's going to try to bring some guys from Georgia, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how that works, but that usually happens. It's not always, he's not going to bring like the offensive coordinator or anything, but a lot of times they'll bring a GA or something and bring him up to a position level.
Yeah.
So thoughts on Mel Tucker leaving Georgia, Shane? How big of a loss is that for Georgia? And I don't know if you really would call it a loss not having him in the bowl game, but it does hurt a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, I think this was an interesting one, Mike, because, we thought this was a done deal. We were kind of joking that we couldn't find anything etched in stone. And then, one of the Georgia guys down there, what's his name, used to be up here as a media dude.
Oh, Mike Griffith?
Yes, Griffith came out and he says something like the job's still a go, but he, you know, unless he has a change of heart or takes or gets another offer. So then I was like, well, is this thing even a done deal now, you know? So maybe I read into that article a little too much. But it's kind of funny that you what you say. I don't think Tucker is going to be a huge loss for Georgia. I mean, obviously, he's a great recruiter. He is good for that defense. But I do think that Kirby's got such a big hand in that defense that we're not going to see too much change next year. But what concerns me is that if this was a contracts negotiation and potential buyouts, if he's going to be bringing some other coaches with him, that's what would concern me as a Georgia fan, is just who does he plan on taking with him? I mean, when you look at that coaching staff top to bottom, who can they not afford to lose, do you think?
Well, the guy that I keep talking about, Schumann, I think is his mm-hmm. name, the inside linebackers coach, but he's got such a bright future. I couldn't imagine for the life of me that Colorado's going to get him.
Any big recruiting coaches down there, maybe? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. If there's a guy, one or two recruit whisperers down there that he brings along with him, then that's where it can kind of hurt Georgia in the long run, I think.
Yeah, I mean, most of those guys, Shane, are on the offensive side, in my opinion, for Georgia, like Del mm-hmm. McGee and Sam Pittman. And
yeah.
So James Coley's another one, maybe, but I don't know. I don't think they're really going to steal any big-time recruiters. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to do a disservice to Kirby, but I think not only does Georgia recruit itself, but I think Kirby is probably the best damn recruiter on that staff. So
yeah,
I think that's really the difference, because we saw under Mark Richt, it was still a machine. Kirby's just mm-hmm. taking it to another level. So I'm not worried about that if I am Georgia.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's the only thing I would be wondering. Just if it took this long, it sounds to me like maybe they are kind of working out some buyout issues. So don't be surprised if they start vulturing a few. But like you said, I don't think the big ones like Pittman and all that, they're not leaving. So I think they'll be fine there. But it is curious. My eyebrows are raised, Mike.
Well, speaking of coordinators leaving, Shane, Mike Locksley officially gets the Maryland job. We touched on that on the latest podcast, but now it's official. And there's rumblings out there that he is trying to steal Alabama's receiver coach, Josh Gattis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's mixed reports, because it was initially reported by Football Scoop. And I saw Cecil Hurd of the Tuscaloosa Times, I think is where he works. He tweeted out, "Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing." And then Bruce Feldman and Rivals was like, "This is complete bullshit." And then that guy Cecil deleted his tweet. So I don't know. Maybe Gattis is leaving to be his offensive coordinator, but I kind of doubt it now that, you know, more refutable people have come out and said that's not happening. But thoughts on, you know, I think the dominoes now we'll start to see, Shane, Mike Locksley gone, who's going to become Alabama's offensive coordinator. I think that is kind of the big question for Nick Saban moving forward. And I should also note that Locksley is going to stay on, unlike Tucker. It's a little bit different scenario because they're preparing for a college football playoff and potential championship.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, Pruitt did this last year, and I'm just curious, you know, over under 3 years before Lockley's fired. Just your guess.
I would say, 3 years.
Yeah.
I would say over. He'll be fired in year four.
I'm going under. He doesn't finish year two, so that's just my guess. No, but all jokes aside, good luck to him. But it does open up a huge can of worms down there, because you got the OC gone. You've got a potential Dan Enos on the team there that he may move up. There's Hugh Freeze talk. Of course, Hugh Freeze is everywhere. So I'm just kind of curious what happens to that Alabama. I mean, because it almost feels like the Tennessee spot won't be signed, sealed, and delivered until we find out what Alabama does.
Well, Shane, you kind of teased it there. Hugh Freeze This is some talk that came out on Wednesday. I thought we had to hit this, and this involves Auburn. So
he's everywhere, Mike.
this commentary comes from Josh Moon, who, to my understanding, is he's a political reporter down in Alabama. So I don't know how he keeps getting all these Auburn scoops, but he was the first guy that said all this stuff about Auburn trying to get rid of Gus Malzahn and, you know, trying to work around his buyout. So he was the very first one to report that, and it's been since followed up by other people. So that leads me to believe that, you know, he's probably got some good information here. But according to Josh Moon, I'm just going to read you these two tweets, Shane. This is what he's saying. Here's the situation at Auburn. Top donors and university officials are so unhappy with Gus Malzahn that they are seeking to undercut him by limiting assistant contracts to single-year deals. This is preventing them from hiring Hugh Freeze, as Hugh Freeze reportedly wants a multi-year deal from any potential employer. Sources say Gus Malzahn has asked Auburn to waive that recent restriction in order to hire Freeze, and Auburn said no. So thoughts on that, Shane? I mean,
what a mess, man. I mean, that is just, I mean, Auburn, do you know what you're doing? If you go a couple of years of just nothing, just no recruits coming in, no wins going on the field, I mean, it sets you back a decade. I mean, it takes some time to make you relevant again. You may get lucky and find a coach that does a hell of a recruiting job. But even then, if a coach comes in and does a hell of a recruiting job, it's still next year before those guys come on the field. And then at that point, they're still freshmen. So you got to wait till they bulk up and get a little bit more productive. I mean, this thing has potential to just totally implode, Mike. And that's what it sounds like it's doing down there.
Yeah, and I will caution people, Shane. Remember, I told you anytime you hear something with Hugh Freeze, my bullshit detector starts going off. Because I have heard, obviously there was talks, oh my God, Florida State's interviewing him, Florida State's trying to steal him. And what I heard about that, so what, you know, what this Josh Moon is saying is basically Freeze wants multi-year deal from Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Florida State wanted to sign Freeze to multi-year, but he only wants to do 1 year. So these are completely, you know, opposite. So like I said, I think there's a huge grain of salt with any Hugh Freeze out there, news out there. I mean, they're saying Liberty wants him, Western Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and yet this damn guy doesn't have a job and they're all open. Like, it just screams bullshit to me. So I'm not sure how much to believe any of this. I don't know. I honestly think Hugh Freeze, like, I think they'll hire him as a Butch Jones intern. I think that's what he is. I think that's what all these programs are willing to do. But he wants to be damn head coach, or either head coach or offensive coordinator at an SEC school. And I think if that's what all these schools really wanted him as, I think he would have already had one. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mike. I'll tell you, I'm excited. I'll be excited when he lands a job anywhere so we can stop talking about him for a little bit. It's just like everything that pops up. I'm surprised he's not in the running for Georgia's defensive coordinator right now. Yeah. He's everywhere, Mike. So hire this bastard so we can stop talking about him, because I am curious what happens down there in Alabama. I'm curious what happens. I mean, so many schools, so many question marks. And Auburn, probably the biggest question mark, but their hands are tied. They can't do anything. And I just don't see anybody coming down there that doesn't have baggage like Hugh Freeze, you know?
Right. Now, speaking of baggage, Shane, it's interesting you said that. We got a hot board update at Tennessee.
Oh!
Wanted to get your thoughts on the latest rumor. There's a new candidate every damn day, Shane. Well, Dan Enos is out there to be had. I'm just saying. But it's not Dan Enos I want to ask you about, Shane. It's Houston offensive coordinator Kendall Briles. Wanted to get your thoughts on that. But before I do, Shane, I just want to set the scene for anyone that is not familiar with exactly who this is and his background, why there's some kind of shadiness there, I guess you could say. But so Kendall Briles is the son of Art Briles, and most people probably know that name. That's the former Baylor head coach. And prior to Baylor, he was at Houston. And he was wildly successful, first of all, as a Texas high school coach, wildly successful at Houston. And then Baylor, you know, several years ago when they basically went from a laughingstock to, hell, Shane, they were a legitimate national title contender on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. Of course, everything came falling out there because of the, you know, the... It was not like one or two allegations of rape. It was like 30 allegations and, you know, all this stuff of potential covering up and everything like that. So he got fired and there's a huge stain on Baylor. So this is that guy's son. Now, they don't really, I don't want to say not connect him to that because it's kind of hard to believe he didn't know something was going on there. Like I said, if maybe it was one incident or two incidents, but you're talking dozens of incidents. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe he didn't know something was going on. Yeah. And they do have apparently text messages of him. Now, I don't know how this could be a very common thing. I don't know. I don't read coaches' text messages to recruits. But apparently this guy, and I'm speaking of Kendall Briles here, again, the guy that's up potentially to be Tennessee's offensive coordinator, he allegedly, you know, sent text messages to recruits saying, you know, do you like white women? We got white women here that that love football players. And obviously he didn't say anything about, you know, breaking the law or you know, we'll look the other way or nothing to that. But I don't know, Shane, that might be a common thing. I mean, that's I don't know if people know the story or not, but that's how Lane Kiffin got a lot of his recruits.
By telling them they have white women ready?
I mean, he sent white women to high school.
Well, those were hostess, Mike.
Yes, they were. But no, so I say all that to say this, Shane, what are your thoughts on this? And for anyone that's not been following Kendall Briles, he was at FAU last year. So he was working under Lane Kiffin, and that was, you know, they went like 11-2. And without him, they've kind of fallen off the map. And Lane Kiffin said that was all Briles' offense last year, not his own. Now he's at Houston. I think Houston finished like second in their division. I'm not 100% sure on that, but they had a good year, and it was 1 year enough. They gave this guy a contract extension last week, so they clearly think highly of him as a football coach. But I say all that to ask you, Shane, what are your thoughts on Tennessee potentially being interested in this guy?
No, thank you. I mean, we're coming off a Title IX lawsuit ourselves, and to bring somebody like this in that was, I mean, say what you want. There was multiple rapes down there in Baylor, mm-hmm. and he was on that staff, and for him to act like he had no idea what was going on shows that either he's a poor coach or he's a liar. And, you know, this text message, you know, that's just icing on the cake for me. I want no part of Briles here. And on top of that, I don't like his offense. I watched a couple of, you know, people are putting stuff on Twitter talking about, hey, check this out, you know, and I'm watching this 7-player reverse stuff. And I'm like, golly, we're going to get our asses handed to us if we go out there and try doing that against Bama or Georgia. You know, everybody's like, oh, look at this. It was a double wide receiver reverse for a touchdown. And I'm like, no, that was a 7-yard loss is what that was, potentially a fumble. So no, I that has a place in the SEC is not it. I don't want any part of this. And not to mention, man, we got here. We would be a laughingstock. One of our buddies, Jay, sent a text, and he made some really good points. We stood on this holier-than-thou rock when we tried to hire Schiano. And I know it's two different situations, but how can you do that and get a coach dismissed before he's even on campus and then turn around and hire somebody like this that was around those types of allegations? I just think it's not the same thing, but it is.
Yeah, Shane, it's almost like Tennessee went out and said, all right, Who are the two guys with the most baggage?
Do you think they're setting us up? I mean, it just feels like this thing has been dragging on for a long time. And this was, you know, we were looking for a coordinator before Alabama and Auburn was. But here we are. And now their hats are in the race. And on top of that, it just feels like they're dragging it out and they're throwing these shitty names out. And then maybe they're just going to roll out Coach Friend here in a minute. We're just going to be like, you know what? I sent a tweet earlier this morning. I said, you know what? Let's just hire this, what is his name? Druck Wiz. I said, let's just hire him. And, you know, by the time by the time football comes around here next season, we'll be convinced that he was the guy. You know, it's just, I don't understand what takes so long.
Well, Shane, I think this coaching staff understands, like all smart ones do, that this game, more than coaching, comes down to players. And we got the early signing period. It's now less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And a week from next weekend, so not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, is the final time you can recruit with, you know, going home and host recruits and all that. I would say that they're so damn focused on that that they're not really in a rush to get this offensive coordinator hired because, I don't know, Shane, they've got a quarterback committed. They've got another quarterback committed. It's not like they need to lock that down to get an elite quarterback. They already got those guys in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're just seeing is not to say they're completely dismissing, you know, this coordinator stuff, but they just really, I mean, they're fighting with Georgia and Alabama and all the best programs in the nation to get some of these players.
Yeah.
I don't think they got time to be fooling around with this. I mean, I think they'll meet with someone if it's on their way, but if it's not, they got to be recruiting because that's the only way they're going to get back to relevancy. And when there's time to step away from all that, I think you'll see a hire made pretty quickly. But I did want to, you know, I personally don't think there's any truth to this rumor, but I have heard it, Shane, and I want to throw it at you.
Okay.
I feel like you'd be pretty damn excited if this happened. But to my understanding,
Peyton Manning. No, I'm just kidding. No.
There's rumblings that Mr. Jim Chaney from down at Georgia is maybe not too happy down in Athens and that he would be open to a return to Knoxville. What would you think if Tennessee stole Georgia's offensive coordinator?
I'm kind of torn, Mike, because I've had Chaney and it didn't work out. But it seems like it is working out down there in Georgia. So on the other hand, I'm like, well, maybe he's a better coach. I don't
know if you remember correctly, Shane, because those Tennessee offenses were pretty awesome.
Well, as a Tennessee fan, of course I'm going to go with taking Chaney just because it disrupts what Kirby's trying to do down there in Georgia. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, the offenses he's been putting out has been pretty exciting. And if we can get the talent to Tennessee like Georgia has, then, yeah, I'd be all for it. But, again, this Tennessee – it's funny that you mentioned that you talked a little bit about recruiting because here we are. We're just like, oh, my God, they're not going to hire an OC. And we just think that they're sitting in an office up there talking about who they're going to hire as an OC when not true. Pruitt was out eating at Buffalo Wild Wings with a recruit today. So, like, you're right. That's the furthest thing from their mind right now. And plus, I think it would hurt. It could hurt. Has potential to hurt. If, you know, maybe they bring in a coordinator and then they say, wait a minute, I'm not going to fit that type of scheme mm-hmm. or something like that. Somebody they've been recruiting all year long. So maybe they're going to hold off till after National Signing Day. I could definitely see that. But I've also heard that this is a really tight-knit search. Like, you're hearing names and things like that, but nothing is getting out. Nobody's blowing a whistle on this crew. So, when they do have somebody, they have interview or they have closed discussions about the offensive coordinator, it's getting nowhere and people are making it up. And that's just kind of where we're at right now. They're speculating, oh, I saw this guy or I saw this guy and they're making these stories up. And that's why this search has kind of been blown up bigger than it is.
All right, Shane. So moving on from the coaching talk, I had to share this little nugget. because this was too damn good not to share. But this comes courtesy of Jason Kersey, who I believe he writes for The Athletic. He covers Oklahoma football. He formerly covered Arkansas, and so I think he's lived in both Fayetteville and now he lives back in Norman covering the Sooners.
Mm-hmm.
But he had an interesting tidbit here on Oklahoma quarterback commit. He goes by the name of Spencer Rattler. How about that name, Shane? He's the number one quarterback prospect in the nation. He won the Elite 11. For those that don't know, that's basically it's a very long competition that's held every year. They do it regionally, and then they take all the best players from around each region, put them together, then they go to a camp in California, and then I think they go to Nike headquarters, and one player emerges and is the Elite 11 MVP. This guy won Elite 11 MVP, so you'd think he's pretty damn good, Shane.
Kind of a big deal.
Here's the tidbit Jason Kersey apparently found out about this Oklahoma quarterback commit. "Something I learned the last couple days," Kersey said, "that will infuriate Arkansas fans. Five-star Spencer Rattler's father grew up in Conway, Arkansas, and was a huge Razorbacks fan. Spencer also cheered for the Razorbacks as a kid. He loves Darren McFadden. Arkansas never reached out to him."
Oh, my God. Are you shitting me? Wow. The ace recruiter didn't go after the number one quarterback whose dad lived in Arkansas and is a fan of the Razorbacks, including, what's this kid's name again?
Spencer Rattler.
You're going to remember that name because every time you see Oklahoma play, you can say, golly, that is on you, Morris. If you weren't damn hunting without a gun or watching your son's ball game, you would have went right up the road and got the number one quarterback in the nation. But here we are.
Oh, man.
What the
hell? He's out there recruiting, Shane, but he's just not looking under the right rocks, apparently.
He's already got his quarterback, so he's moved on, I guess. But, damn, to find out something like that. Of course, you never know. I mean, this is one little story that we heard. I've seen it time and time again. Somebody grow up somewhere and big fan of some. I mean, hell, we just talked about Trey the other day having a bedroom painted in crimson red, didn't we? I mean,
yep.
It happens. So, but the fact that you didn't even give him a phone call, or I mean, he's just right up the road. You know, bring him down and let him hang out with you. So, that part's a little discouraging. If I'm a Razorback fan, for sure.
All right, Shay, let's jump to recent comments here. Wanted to get into this. This is about, potential expansion in the college football playoff. Obviously, it's four teams. A lot of fans want six or eight, or hell, some even want 16. But at a recent event here in New York City, I'm not sure what the exactly event is. I think it's called the Sports Journal of Business. They have like an annual convention where, you know, it's just a bunch of big wigs talking shop and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, was being interviewed here by Paul Feinbaum. We got a clip here. And just kind of asked him about his thoughts on potential expansion. And obviously it's working well for the SEC, maybe not so well for other conferences. So just wanted to get his thoughts on that. And if he did kind of open up a little bit about the pressures of expansion that he hears.
Okay, since you gave me the next question, I have a feeling not being here, I know it was addressed a few times yesterday, the CFP conversation. Where are we on that?
We're still at four, I think.
Today?
Yeah. Perhaps if, you know, like my championship game result had been different, there would have been even more conversation, but it will always be a topic of conversation. I think what you saw yesterday from my colleagues is true, and that is you have what is essentially a startup that has worked remarkably well. We're now in year five. We've kind of alternated winning that last game, and so hopefully we'll see that streak broken from our parochial perspective. But it has, in a way, changed college football. The conversation around the playoff is continuous. It has protected the regular season. And if you're to expand, what are you going to give up? Is it just additive, or are there impacts? I think there would be impacts. And so whatever is considered, and there always will be pressure to expand. I want to be very careful, not just from a selfish way, but from a practical way for us all. I think what happened in Atlanta last Saturday night is something that is special to college football. It's clearly special for the Southeastern Conference. A championship game that was the first at this level, that creates interest, that provides a way to determine a conference championship, attracts great attention, is sold out. You know, if we put tickets on sale for next year, it would be sold out now for the Southeastern Conference. Everyone has replicated that model. So I think there's some health around those games. I lived in the FCS world. I've seen the impact on the people, the student athletes, the coaches, the administration, the fans, of just adding layer after layer after layer of football games. We're not talking about basketball or baseball. We're talking about adding football games. And we're rightly thoughtful people, believe it or not, at the commissioner's level. But we're rightly going to be cautious before we just agree that expansion resolves a set of issues that it may not, in fact, resolve.
All right, Shane. So, you know, a little bit of, you know, typical talk which you get there. But I did think it was revealing that Sankey, while he admitted there's no desire, essentially, to expand the playoff at this point, he does feel that pressure. And this is a guy who runs a conference where I would assume there is no pressure to really expand it. But maybe he's talking from other commissioners, from other fans. I don't know. But kind of a revealing comment there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's there's going to be a day, Mike, when the SEC is affected. You know, he said clearly, he goes, if my championship game would have went different, maybe we would have had more pressure on this situation. I don't think that Bama was going to be left out if they lost this game. But let's say, for instance, a 10-2 Georgia was playing 11-1 Alabama and Georgia beat Alabama. Given the current layout of the format, guess who's getting left out? The SEC. I mean, they would have put Oklahoma in. They would have put, what was the other one? Obviously, Notre Dame, Clemson, all those guys. Yeah, those would have been in there, but they would have put probably Ohio State. And I'm just saying, it's going to happen one day. And I know that there's a lot of pressure and all this stuff, but there needs to be some reformatting before before that happens. Because if an SEC team gets left out, man, you talk about exploding. The internet would explode. Everybody would be up there. This thing would get fixed in less than 2 years. But why wait for that to happen? Why don't we go ahead and prepare for it? And I always like the fact that if you have a six game, you got five Power Five teams that get in, whoever wins the championship game, even if you cut the championship, maybe they have a committee, but at least one team from each Power Five gets in, and then you got one at large. I just think that's what's going to happen eventually.
Well, Shane, I think we could have even seen your scenario you laid out there. If, remember, there was two Florida teams that played Alabama in back-to-back SEC championship games, mm-hmm. and neither one of those Florida teams was that good. Say they had upset Alabama in either one of those games, I'm not sure Alabama gets in, and I'm really wouldn't think those Florida teams would have got in.
Yeah.
There's been a couple. Now, there was those two Missouri teams that went to the SEC championship game. One of those was really good, but the other one, I think they also had an 8 or 9 win season there, and they weren't getting in. So, yeah, there's definitely going to come a time where an SEC championship upset could cost the SEC, and it will be really interesting to see. They say it means more. They're going to get more hate mail and people calling for change if that were to ever happen.
You think you got pressure now, brother? You wait till you leave one of these teams out, and then that's pressure. And that's what surprises me about the Big Ten. The guy coming out saying they, in the last 5 years, only the three of them didn't get in. So, I mean, that's happened to them, and they're not upset about it. I'm not saying that they're better than the SEC, but they claim to be. Mm-hmm. And then I want one of my damn teams in. We're playing 10 conference games, or not? They play 9, right? 9 conference games a year, and they're getting one left out. So, I don't know. I think eventually it's happened. I think the pressure's pressure is there, and you're not hearing it as much. But I guarantee when these big wigs get together, they're talking about it.
All right, Shane, let's move on to a bit of news that came out this week. The SEC has announced their 2018 football awards, the individual awards. Mm-hmm. And you and I kind of predicted who would win these before they came out. So before we reveal who won them, let's share our thoughts on these award winners, who we thought was going to win each award. And I'll kick it off, Shane. Offensive player of the year. I think this is kind of a no-brainer. I went with Tua. What about you?
Yeah, without a doubt, Tua. I mean, obviously he was a letdown in the SEC championship, but full body of work. Nobody was doing it better than he was.
And Tua did, in fact, win that award, so no surprise there. Defensive player of the year, Shane. I went with Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen. What about you?
I went with Jeffrey Simmons for Mississippi State. I got to give the big ugly some loving.
I got you. Well, the winner was, in fact, Josh Allen, Shane. And I actually, I've saw some people be upset over this. And Mississippi State fans certainly thought Jeffrey Simmons should have won. And it's not that I obviously don't think he's a good player. I just, Alabama fans were kind of upset that Quinnen Williams, their incredible defensive lineman, didn't win. But in my eyes, Shane, those guys are more surrounded with talent. Kind of makes it much more difficult. Now, those two interior linemen did see double teams, sometimes triple teams on the field, and they beat that consistently. But in my eyes, Kentucky on defense, I mean, it was basically a one-man show at times. They asked Josh Allen to take over, get sacks, get fumbles, and that man delivered time and time again. You got to remember, Shane, Kentucky did not allow more than 20 points in a single game until November. I mean, that's like a damn Alabama stat if there ever was one. So I got to give it to my man Josh Allen, and I think he was the most outstanding defensive player this year.
That's a good one. I like him, and I mean, it was down really between him those two, and I like White too. I thought he did great, but I just think Simmons changed the game, and that's what sucks is when you're a defensive lineman or offensive lineman. Sometimes you don't realize just how great they are until something happens, like they miss a game. And then you realize just how much, like Simmons took double pressure off. I mean, you freed up a linebacker when he's on the other side of that ball. So that's why I like giving those. I mean, that trench, I love the warfare down there, and that's why I'm leaning towards Simmons.
A damn former lineman giving a lineman award. I shouldn't be surprised. All right, special teams player of the year, Shane. I said Texas A&M punter Braden Mann. I'm a huge Mann fan. Mm-hmm. What about you, special teams player of the year?
I got to give it to my boy Debo in South Carolina. I just watching him, some of the kick returns that he's had, and just how he changed the game. I mean, people couldn't punt directly toward him. People try to kick away from him. Kick it out of the end zone. I mean, they tried everything they could to keep this man from touching the ball, and every now and then they messed up, and when they did, he made them pay.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, Shane, but I did get it right because the SEC picked Braden Mann, the nation's best punter, in my opinion. He broke the NCAA record for most 60-yard punts in a damn game. This guy just flipped the field all year long. I thought J.K. Scott was something special, and he is, but this Braden Mann is even better, so I had to give it to him.
I ain't got time for punters, Mike. Get that out of here.
SEC Freshman of the Year, Shane. I picked Alabama receiver Jalen Waddell. How about you?
Oh, we tied it up. Actually, I was thinking about going on the other side of the ball. I like that, what's his name, Patrick Surtain?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been pretty dominant because, going into this season, we didn't know who they're going to put over there and if this team was even going to be able to compete, as far as DBs. But at the last, I got to give it to Jalen. And a lot of that just has to do with he's probably the fastest guy I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, Shane, we both got this one right. He won SEC Freshman of the Year. And it just seemed like, of course, Jerry Jeudy was their number one. But it just seemed like when they weren't going to Jeudy and they needed a big play, they went to this kid, and he just delivered time and time again. I think this is a guy, a lot of people look at him, and he's not the biggest receiver, but you're right, he's basically the fastest and the quickest. There's a difference there. Mm-hmm. He just has that elite speed and that burst that you want in a player. And I mean, he may be, you know, an inch or two less than the NFL wants, but
yeah.
When he is up for the draft, I think they'll overlook that because some players are just so damn good. It doesn't matter what you want. You go for these elite players, and he's one of them. All right, Shane, SEC Coach of the Year. I went with Mark Stoops. How about you?
Yeah, Coach O blew this one. I got to go with Stoops. I really want to give it to him, you know, especially with all the hot seat talk coming into the season. But, you know, dropping that damn Texas A&M game, I got to give it to Kentucky Stoops.
Yeah, and we got it right. Shane Stoops won it. He's up for a couple of national Coach of the Year awards, so it's hard to argue with this one, even though I thought Kentucky was going to be really good this year. I predicted they would be third in the SEC East. I got destroyed on Twitter for that one. They ended up being second, so they overdid my high expectations for them. And, you know, good for Mark Stoops. I think we've kind of hit this several times this year, but just a sign that some of these programs need to make sure they give their guy time and he can deliver some big results. You know, obviously if someone bottoms out, you probably shouldn't be giving them more years, but as long as they're steady and consistent success, which is what he's had every year, he's deserved time to put it in, and it finally paid off for Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Shane. Oh, one other thing I wanted to hit on. I didn't want to go over this whole damn team, Shane, because the SEC also named, their first team offense, second team offense, and defense and special teams and all that. But the one that stood out to me, Shane, 201 first team offense, no surprise.
Yeah.
But Drew Locke, second team SEC offense. And I'm trying to figure out why in the hell. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect Drew Locke, but let's go over his schedule here, Shane. He was terrible against Georgia. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible against Alabama. They lost. Terrible against Kentucky, and they lost. They lost the South Carolina game. Why in the hell are we giving this to Drew Locke? And keep in mind, he had a three-game stretch. He didn't throw a damn touchdown. Well, I would have given this to Jake Fromm, second-team SEC. Am I wrong there?
No, Jake Fromm definitely should have had second. The only reason they gave it to Drew Locke is because they didn't make this vote until the end of the season, and they forget what happened in September and October. You know, it's what they say, man. It's it's what you do in November is what matters. I mean, that's why we're talking about Tua possibly not winning a Heisman, just because of the way he ended the season. It's just short-term memory, and I think they need to switch up the voting, maybe have a first half of the season votes, and then you can add it to the second half or something, you know, but that'll never happen. I just think here lately, though, Drew Locke has been extremely impressive, and that's just what they're remembering.
Hmm. Well, Shane, I'm just going to tell you, I don't like it.
I don't either, man. I mean, did you see the SEC champion? Fromm was on it. He was throwing some dimes out there. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with that. And I don't have the list. I am curious, as far as running back, the Texas A&M guy got it right?
Yeah, Travion Williams and Benny Snell were first team, and I think they got that one right. That would have been my guys right there.
Yeah, that would have been mine too. I think Swift could have been up there if he would have started the season healthy because he really came on strong.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think you're right.
All right, Shane, final thing I had, you know, we like to do our little predictions here. So obviously no SEC games this weekend, but there is a damn Heisman Trophy presentation on Saturday. So I just thought we'd, Kyler Murray he's actually, since the last time we recorded, his odds have even gone up. So I just want to get you on record, Shane. Who's winning the Heisman Trophy, Tua or Kyler?
Man, there's a lot of smoke, Mike. A lot of smoke for his Kyler kid. But I'm an SEC faithful, and I'm going to have to say Tua wins the Heisman.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you went with Kyler.
$100 bet.
I think Tua's going to win it too, Shane, and I think it's going to be due. Not saying he doesn't deserve it. He's my vote. I think you know, we basically have never seen a quarterback. I don't know if we've ever seen a quarterback in the SEC play the way he's playing, just by dissecting defenses and just putting the ball on the damn money. Obviously, he had a bad SEC championship game. He was obviously hurt. I don't think you should dock a guy for getting hurt. He did have a bad game, like I said, but does that wipe out the 12 before it? I certainly don't think so. And I think the percentages of votes that came in before the SEC championship game, which probably should be illegal. You probably shouldn't be able to vote until all the games have been played. But I think those early votes will carry him, because I think on all those votes, he'll be the number one. I don't know how he couldn't be. And then I look for Kyler to finish second, but it is.
When can you turn those votes in? I mean, when do they open up? Is it start week one? You can put your pick in.
I think it's like week 11. So it's okay. Like 2 or 3 weeks before the season ends. And I have no idea why they do it that way, but the voting is due Monday of this week. So the deadline's obviously passed, but you get 2 days after the championship games to make a decision.
Well, if that's the case, and a lot of these coaches probably don't want to wait and deal with it at the end. So they probably sent this thing in and probably wish they had it back. I don't know if you'd wish you had it back, because I'm with you. You look at the 12 games that he played, he was outstanding. Mm-hmm. And to say, you know, he dropped a game, well, you know what? Things happen. So, hell, Oklahoma dropped a game. But that's just where we're at.
All right, Shane, that's all I got. You got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, buddy. First off, I'd like to thank all the listeners for hanging out with us today, and especially the ones that went a step further and left a rating review on iTunes, and I've got one. I'd like to read it, Mike.
Sure, let's do it.
Intro music, bleh.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again.
This one comes from Seth Crabtree, 5-star hearts. SEC Mike is a must-follow on Twitter, and his cousin Shane will keep you equipped to win any argument at the bar all season long, though they may not win enough bets to pay the tab. Keep up the good work, you big Tennessee homer. I appreciate that, Seth, and I appreciate all the listeners. We also had 2 ghost reviews, so hopefully those will be coming through here by next week, but anybody that did that, I appreciate you. And if you don't have an iPhone or iTunes, I mean, you're listening to us, I appreciate you hanging out. And the off season is upon us, and hopefully we'll find some more juicy stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and on that note, Shane, I should say we're probably going to be scaling back here to, you know, probably 3 podcasts a week. Maybe if it's really slow, 2. But then, of course, you know, if there's like huge news, we'll jump on and maybe get one out. But sometimes there's just not enough to really spitball here. We don't want to just bullshit for the sake of bullshitting. but that's probably where that stands, in case you're wondering. So we'll probably, I would imagine, probably Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, we'll try to get those out there. But other than that, Shane, that's all I got.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. All right, guys. Well, that's all I got. Damn, I'm all over the place. Go, boss. Let me try that again. Can I try that again? Nah, fuck it. You know, just roll with it.
All right.
It's the off season, Mike. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I've already checked out. I know. I got to give it to Debo. I didn't watch I watched pretty much all of South Carolina's game. Got it? I got to give Son of a bitch. Was he not like Debo? I love Debo.
Okay, I yelled at him.
You're good, man.